Hello and welcome. This is Brother Mike once again. Of course, we're at May-21, 2011.com, and we're continuing our study in Jeremiah chapter 50. This will be verses 26 through 29. Let's begin by reading the verses. Come against her from the utmost border. Open her storehouses. Cast her up as heaps and destroy her utterly. Let nothing of her be left. Slay all her bullocks. Let them go down to the slaughter. Woe unto them, for the day is come, the time of their visitation. The voice of them that flee and escape out of the land of Babylon, to declare in Zion the vengeance of the Lord our God, the vengeance of his temple. Call together the archers against Babylon. All ye that bend the bow, camp against it round about. Let none thereof escape. Recompense her according to her work, according to all that she hath done, do unto her. For she hath been proud against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel. In verses 26 through 29 of Jeremiah 50, which we just read, we continue with the theme of bringing judgment against Babylon, that is, against the world and all the churches. We will find what it means to come against Babylon from the utmost border and to open her storehouses, and what it means to cast her up as heaps and destroy her utterly, as well as what it means to let nothing of her be left. Furthermore, we will find what it means to slay all her bullocks and why they all go down to slaughter. Then we will discover just who it is that flee and escape out of the land of Babylon to declare in Zion the vengeance of Yahweh our God, the vengeance of his temple, and why their coming against Babylon is the vengeance of Yahweh our God, the vengeance of his temple. Finally, we will find who the archers are that come against Babylon and exactly what the arrows are that they shoot at Babylon, and what it means that they are to let none of Babylon escape, but rather to recompense Babylon according to her work, according to all that she has done, do unto her. And why are they to do all this to Babylon? The answer, and much more, we will find as we now look at each verse one by one. Well, let's begin with verse 26 of Jeremiah 50. Verse 26, it reads, "Come against her from the utmost border. Open her storehouses. Cast her up as heaps and destroy her utterly. Let nothing of her be left." In this verse, we first read, "Come against her from the utmost border." Here, the phrase, "from the utmost border," can be literally translated, "at the end." So our verse can read, "Come against her at the end." Yes, this is another verse commanding the elect to come against Babylon at the end. Which makes perfect sense when we see that the end, Judgment Day, began on May 21, 2011, and ever since then the elect are to come against Babylon with the message of no more eternal salvation, which ensures that everyone who is unsaved, that is Babylon, will remain unsaved unto the soon-to-come day when they will perish forever. We read of this day of judgment in Revelation 22, verse 11, which states, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. The reason that he that is unjust will remain unjust, and he which is filthy will remain filthy, is because it is judgment day in which no one can any longer be saved. Therefore, the unjust, that is the unsaved, and the filthy, that is the unsaved, will remain unjust and filthy, that is unsaved. So, by this verse alone, the Bible teaches that there would be a time in which there is no more eternal salvation. To this, all should agree. But the problem with many is that they can't accept that this is the time of no eternal salvation that we are now in ever since May 21, 2011. They still want to hold on to that there is still salvation possible. But for those of you who have been following our studies, you know that eternal salvation has come to an end. The Bible reveals many verses which teach the end to salvation on May 21, 2011, and the following verses are but a small sample. I encourage you to click on each one of these links, which leads you to various verses which give evidence for the fact that eternal salvation has ended. Well, now getting back to our verse, we the elect are being commanded at the end, that is in judgment day, that we are now in, to come against Babylon, the world, and all churches. And we have learned in the past studies that this means to get out the message of judgment, that there is no more eternal salvation possible, which means that all the billions who are unsaved in the world, including all those who have remained in the churches by disobeying our Lord's command to depart out, are bound in chains of death, soon to be revealed on the last day of judgment day that we are now in, when they will all come forth to eternal damnation into the silence of annihilation forever. But next, in our verse, we the elect are not only commanded to come against Babylon during this time, but we are commanded to open her storehouses. Open her storehouses. Normally, storehouses were where the food was stored, and for the opposing army to open these up was to do so that the food be plundered and taken away. This would leave the Babylonians without any food, and the opposing army would have all the food. And since we know that those who come against Babylon in these days are the elect, our verse is telling us that the elect now have all the food of eternal salvation, and Babylon no longer has any of this food. Spiritually, this is just another way of revealing that Babylon has no spiritual food by which to be saved, but instead the elect alone have all the food by which they are being fed unto eternal life. Remember what Christ said in John 6, verse 48? He said, "I am the bread of life." And since the Babylonians, that is all the unsaved in the world and churches, no longer have any bread or food unto eternal salvation, because the elect are in control of their storehouses, it means they no longer have Christ for salvation. So, once again, we are being taught that there is no longer any possibility of eternal salvation for Babylon, that is, for the world and all the churches. But it is the elect alone who have all the bread or food unto eternal life, and they began receiving this bread whenever they were saved, before or by May 21, 2011. Now our verse continues. It states, "Cast her up as heaps and destroy her utterly." Cast her up as heaps and destroy her utterly. to cast an enemy up as heaps or piles means to utterly destroy them. How could you possibly cast one up in heaps unless you had utterly destroyed them? Therefore, when our verse says cast her up as heaps and destroy her utterly, it is basically saying the same thing twice for emphasis. And indeed, when the elect declare to Babylon that they now have no possibility of eternal salvation, they are utterly destroying Babylon. Or we could say casting them up as heaps, because this makes known that they are all now certain to perish on the soon to come last day of judgment day, and indeed that they are all also spiritually dead in Adam with no possibility of ever coming to life, which means that they are all utterly destroyed spiritually already. Finally, our verse states, let nothing of her be left. Let nothing of her be left. Or more literally, let not a remnant be to her. In other words, do not let anyone live. And when we declare that there is no longer any possibility for salvation to anyone in Babylon, we are doing just that. We are not letting anyone in Babylon live, because we are saying that they will all now remain spiritually dead in Adam. No one will ever come to spiritual life again. Therefore, no one will ever live again in Babylon. And what's more, not only will no one ever spiritually live again in Babylon, but they will also all physically die on the soon to come last day of judgment day. It is now guaranteed ever since May 21, 2011, when Judgment Day began. So, no matter how you look on it, whether spiritually or physically, there is and will be no remnant left in Babylon that is in this world and in all the churches. Moving on to verse 27 of Jeremiah 50. Verse 27 reads, slay all her bullocks, let them go down to the slaughter. Woe unto them, for their day is come, the time of their visitation. Here we first read, slay all her bullocks. The word bullocks can be translated as bulls, and they can represent the strong and mighty of men. For instance, when Christ speaks of his own crucifixion and the men who surrounded him, he states in Psalm 22, verse 12, many bulls, that's the same word for bullocks, have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. Obviously, he is not speaking about literal bulls compassing him or besetting him round, but he is speaking about the strong and mighty men of this world doing such to him. So when our verse says, slay all her bullocks, that is bulls, we are being told to slay all of Babylon's strong and mighty people. And how do we do? And how do we, the elect, do that? By declaring to the mighty of this world, including the mighty in all the churches, that any hope for their salvation has been lost as of May 21, 2011. By declaring this, we slay the mighty, since without any hope for eternal salvation, they have been spiritually slain, as it is now certain that they will all remain spiritually dead in Adam. And it is also certain that they are certain to physically perish on the soon to come last day of judgment day that we are now in. So, whether it is looked upon spiritually or physically, there is a sense in which the strong and mighty of this world, including those in all the churches, have been slain on May 21, 2011, when eternal salvation ended for all those not already saved. Now our verse continues and states this, let them go down to the slaughter. That is, let them, that is the bullocks that we were talking about, or the bulls, let them go down to slaughter. Literally, it simply states, they come down to slaughter. They come down to slaughter. Who comes down to slaughter? Why, all the bulls of Babylon come down to slaughter. That is, all the strong and mighty of the world, including the ones in all the churches, come down to slaughter. But now the question becomes, why do they come down to slaughter? Why don't they go up to slaughter? In response, the strong and mighty of the world come down to slaughter because they are coming down in standing by going to slaughter. You see, before May 21, 2011, there was always the possibility that they could be saved. But now there is no possibility. So they have come down in standing or position. Once they were the strong and mighty with a possibility of eternal life, but now they are those headed for sure destruction. Once they were something, now in the light of all eternity, they are nothing. Therefore, as they come to slaughter, they come down. They do not come up. Indeed, they ultimately come down, down, down into the nothingness of annihilation. This is the end of all the unsaved, strong and mighty of the world, including all those in the churches. They come down to slaughter. Then we read in our verse, woe unto them, for their day is come, the time of their visitation. Historically and literally, the time of Babylon's visitation or punishment began in 539 BC when the Medes and Persians conquered the literal Babylon. But spiritually, the Medes represent the elect who are conquering spiritual Babylon, that is the kingdom of Satan, which includes this world and all the churches, as they bring the message of no more eternal salvation for them ever since May 21, 2011. Indeed, the day of Babylon's visitation or punishment began on May 21, 2011, when it is being made certain by Yahweh that all those unsaved, both in the world and in all the churches, will remain spiritually dead in Adam up till they are all annihilated forever on the soon-to-come last day of Judgment Day that we are now in. Yes, the day or time of their visitation or punishment has come. Moving on to verse 28 of Jeremiah 50. Moving on to verse 28, it reads, the voice of them that flee and escape out of the land of Babylon, to declare in Zion the vengeance of the Lord our God, the vengeance of his temple. In this verse, we first read, the voice of them that flee and escape out of the land of Babylon. But just who are they that flee and escape out of the land of Babylon? Spiritually, this can only be the elect who were saved before salvation came to an end on May 21, 2011. And when they were each spiritually saved, they were translated from the kingdom of Satan, that is Babylon, into the kingdom of Yahweh's dear Son, Jesus Christ. In this sense, the elect had fled and escaped out of the land of Babylon when they were saved. But now, ever since May 21, 2011, the elect who were saved before then are now free to declare in Zion the vengeance of Yahweh our God, the vengeance of his temple, because the wrath of Yahweh has come upon Babylon, that is upon this world and all the unsaved of the churches, for their having spiritually destroyed all the churches from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011. And now it is time for payback to them. And the way in which Yahweh is paying back Babylon is by the weapons of his indignation, the elect, who declare the end of salvation for Babylon, that is the world and all the unsaved in the churches, ever since May 21, 2011. Notice that our verse speaks of the wrath of Yahweh on Babylon as the vengeance of the Lord our God, the vengeance of his temple. As we all know by now, the vengeance of the Lord our God is better translated as the vengeance of Yahweh our God. And the vengeance of his temple refers to the vengeance of his corporate church, which corporate church includes all the various local Christian churches and congregations throughout the world. We know this because the word temple in the phrase, the vengeance of his temple, is used in the Bible to describe the local church of believers. For instance, in speaking to the congregation of believers in Corinth, we read in 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Know you that plural, not that you plural are the temple of God? Know you plural not that you plural are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" And again, we read in 2 Corinthians 6:16, "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you," that is you plural, "are the temple of the living God," in talking to the local church of Corinth. So, the temple of God refers to all the local churches and congregations throughout the world, so that when Yahweh says the vengeance of his temple, he means the vengeance of all the local churches and congregations throughout the world. Or we could look at it as being the temple being spiritually the elect. It is the vengeance of the elect, for they are the spiritual temple that Satan destroyed or split apart during the Great Tribulation. That is, because Babylon spiritually destroyed all of Yahweh's local churches and congregations during the Great Tribulation period, from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, Yahweh has brought his vengeance or payback upon Babylon beginning on May 21, 2011 with the removal of eternal salvation from them. They have indeed been snared without even knowing it, Jeremiah 50:24. It is the vengeance of Yahweh our God, the vengeance of his temple. Now, before leaving this particular verse, we are told that the elect flee and escape. They were saved before May 21, 2011, out of the land of Babylon to declare in Zion the vengeance of Yahweh our God, the vengeance of his temple. Let's focus on the word Zion. Obviously, Zion here is not referring to a physical place over by Jerusalem, but it is referring to the spiritual Zion or heavenly Jerusalem, which we become a part of when we become saved, as we read in Hebrews 12:22. "But you," that is the elect, "are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels." So we can say that the elect were saved into spiritual Zion before May 21, 2011, to now declare, as they are spiritually in Zion, the vengeance of Yahweh our God, the vengeance of his temple, as they bring the message of Yahweh's judgment upon Babylon, that there is no longer the possibility for any of them to become saved. Moving on to the last verse that we will cover, it's verse 29 of Jeremiah 50. Verse 29, it reads, "Call together the archers against Babylon. All you that bend the bow, camp against it round about. let none thereof escape. Recompense her according to her work, according to all that she has done, do unto her. For she hath been proud against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel. Here we first read, call together the archers against Babylon. Call together the archers against Babylon. And our first question becomes, who are the archers who come against Babylon? If you have been following our studies in Isaiah 13 and Jeremiah 50, you'll be able to answer right away, the Medes. Remember what we learned in Isaiah 13, 17 through 18? There we read, behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, that is against Babylon, which shall not regard silver. As for gold, they shall not delight in it. Their bows also shall dash the young men to pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eyes shall not spare children. In this verse, we learned that the Medes are the elect. And you can click on the link, Isaiah 13, 17, to refresh your memory if you need to. But we learned that the Medes are the elect. Therefore, the archers who come against Babylon in our verse are the elect. But they don't come against Babylon with literal bows and arrows. Rather, they come against them with their tongue that pronounces words of judgment against Babylon. The bow represents their tongues, and the arrows represent their words. To see this, we read, for instance, in Jeremiah 9, verse 3, and they bend their tongues like their bow for lies. And in Psalm 64, we read in verse 3, who whet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows. And what are these arrows? Even bitter words. So the arrows are clearly words. Furthermore, we read in Proverbs 25, verse 18, a man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. Therefore, the words spoken falsely are said to be a sharp arrow. So again, the arrows are clearly representative of words. And we read in Jeremiah 9, verse 8, their tongue is an arrow shot out. It speaks deceit. Once again, the words spoken are is like an arrow shot out. So basically, we have learned, and we can conclude by all these verses, that the bow represents the tongue from which the words come, and the arrows that the bow shoots are the actual words themselves. The elect, then, are the archers who come against Babylon, that is, against this world and all the churches, with their tongues and words of judgment, that there is no longer any possibility of eternal salvation. That all the world, this world and all the churches, is now certain to perish on the soon to come last day of judgment. Now our verse continues. All you that bend the bow, camp against it, that is against Babylon, round about. That is, all you that prepare your tongues, that is your bows, to declare judgment upon Babylon by the words, that is the arrows, which come from your tongues, encamp against her, that is Babylon, round about. Clearly, this is an exhortation for us to be getting out the message of no more eternal salvation all over the world and in every church. We should have groups of people, that is, encampments around the world who are getting out this message. And because we are now so far from accomplishing these things, we need to pray that the Lord will open the doors, provide, and raise up the elect everywhere to get this job done. O Lord God, We pray that you will raise up more and more people to get your message of judgment out. We pray that you will open doors and provide for all things to accomplish this huge task, and that you will set up encampments around the globe of dedicated elect to the cause. We pray that you will open doors in radio, television, the internet, and other mediums as well, so that we can rapidly bring about your will through the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit. Father, help give us ways to get the message out through all the various media and every way possible, according to your will. We, O Lord, are so small, and the task is too great for us alone. But you are so great, and you relish to get out your message through us. So give us everything we need to accomplish the task, and to do it quickly and powerfully, that we might hasten your coming, which we know is near. Through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, continuing on in our verse, we not only read to encamp against Babylon round about, but we next read, let none thereof escape. Let none thereof escape. Let no one of Babylon escape. That is, we are to shoot our arrows, our words of no more eternal salvation, at everyone. None should escape the message that eternal salvation is now no longer possible for anyone who was not saved by May 21, 2011, with the result that they all are guaranteed to perish, and not to just perish, but perish relatively soon. And what this means to the world and all the churches is that they are all now guaranteed to perish without any possibility of eternal life. This is huge. Almost everyone expects that they have an afterlife of some kind, but the truth is that they will have no life after death, but only annihilation to exist no more for all eternity. This is the wrath of Yahweh that has come upon the entire world, including all the churches, due to their sins that have not been paid for by the God-man Jesus Christ. Though many think they have been paid, and so they must be paid for by their deaths. For the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Indeed, we read in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sins not. Now, our verse continues and says this: recompense her, that is Babylon, according to her work, according to all that she has done, do unto her. Notice that we are first told to recompense or repay Babylon according to her work, which is the just thing to do, but then we are told exactly what it means to recompense or repay her according to her work, namely, according to all that she has done, do unto her. Which begs the question, what did Babylon do that we can now do to her as a just recompense? Well, what she did was infiltrate all the churches with false gospels and teachings by which none could be truly saved. Oh yes, they could appear to be being saved, but this was only into false gospels, which never could really save anyone, although many claimed to be saved by them. In fact, it even appeared as though a great revival was taking place in many of the churches, but truly, this was not the case, for people were not being saved into the true gospel, but they were being saved into false gospels, which could not really save. It was all a deception of Satan, who had taken his seat of rule in all the churches beginning on May 21, 1988, and continuing to May 21, 2011. This period of Satan's rule in all the churches is known as the Great Tribulation, when true salvation ended in all the churches and another fake salvation was brought in to deceive the masses of so-called Christians into worshiping the false Christ, the Antichrist, the counterfeit Christ, the devil himself. The true Christians, of course, they were commanded to come out from all the churches as the church age had come to an end on May 21, 1988. So, in answer to the question, what did Babylon do that we are to now do to her, is that she stole away true salvation from all the churches by deceiving them with false gospels and teachings. And now we are to do the same thing to her, which is what we're doing when we declare that salvation for her is now ended ever since May 21, 2011, when Yahweh's wrath came upon her. Yes, Babylon, the world, and all those who have remained in the churches are now being repaid for what they did by exchanging the true gospel for a false gospel. Babylon has now had salvation removed from her, just as she removed the true gospel from all Yahweh's churches, as a recompense for her deeds. No one who was not saved by May 21, 2011 can now ever be eternally saved. They are all now certain to remain spiritually dead in Adam and to perish on the soon to come last day of judgment day that we are now in, when all the billions of people who are dead and unsaved and all the billions of people who remain and are unsaved will come forth to the resurrection of eternal damnation, where they will all be annihilated to exist no more forever. Now, finally, the reason why we, the elect, are to repay Babylon for her past works in all the churches, in leading them into other gospels, is, for she hath been proud against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel. Yes, Babylon was so proud to go up against Yahweh's own church, even though it was Yahweh that chose Babylon as his instrument to spiritually destroy all the churches due to their sins. Babylon should have reckoned that all the Christian churches belonged to Yahweh through the work of Christ, and that to come against them would be the same as coming against Yahweh himself. But they were too proud to fully consider the consequences of their actions. Perhaps they were even deluded into thinking that they could conquer the God of all creation. Whatever the case, they should have realized that there is one person that you just don't fool with, or else. But their pride deceived them, and so they fooled with God by spiritually destroying all his churches, and now they must pay the consequences of their sin, which was to have any possibility of eternal salvation removed from their midst on May 21, 2011. This was to ensure that they pay the consequences of their sin, which is death, and that their death would be eternal in the blackness of annihilation, with no chance of ever coming to life again. Well, before concluding this study, let's take a closer look at the sentence, for she has been proud against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel. First, the word Lord in the sentence, for she has been proud against the Lord, is the word Yahweh. And as we have made clear many times before, the vowels in the word Yahweh may be different than as pronounced, but they are, at the least, a good approximation of what the vowels probably are. So, we will continue to spell and pronounce the word as such. Second, notice that the sentence says, for she has been proud against Yahweh, against the Holy One of Israel. The idea is that Babylon has not just been proud against Yahweh, but against the Holy One of Israel.
Why the emphasis on Yahweh being the Holy One of Israel in this context? Holiness has to do with being righteous with perfect obedience to the law. And since the law requires that the sin of Babylon be punished with death, for the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23, this is emphasizing the righteous punishment of Babylon for her sins. That is, Yahweh is the Holy One, and this means that he will do what the law requires and punish Babylon for their sin of pride against him and coming up against all his churches, which he has now done by removing any possibility for eternal salvation from them. Babylon, in a sense, removed true salvation, true eternal salvation, from all the churches during the Great Tribulation, and now Yahweh has removed eternal salvation from them, that is, the world, including all those who have remained in the churches. Well, let's conclude our study by reviewing a few things. We learned that to come against Babylon from the utmost border means that we are to come against her at the end, which is the period in which we now find ourselves. That is, in Judgment Day that began on May 21, 2011. Yes, we are now to come against Babylon, that is the world and all churches, and we are to open her storehouses. To open her storehouses means that we have taken control of all her spiritual food for eternal salvation so that she no longer can be eternally saved, which is exactly what we do when we declare to them that their food of eternal salvation is no more, ever since May 21, 2011. Yes, by declaring the end of eternal salvation, we have opened her storehouses of spiritual food and indeed plundered them so that there is no longer any food unto eternal life for them. What's more, we learned that to cast her up as heaps and to destroy her utterly basically meant that we are to declare to Babylon that she can no longer be eternally saved. As every single last person of Babylon is now certain to remain spiritually dead in Adam, and they are all now also certain to perish on the relatively soon to come last day of Judgment Day that we are now in. Because of these things, Babylon has indeed been cast up in heaps and utterly destroyed. In fact, nothing of her has been left because no one of Babylon, that is, no one of the world and all the churches, can now be eternally saved. So no remnant of her remains, but they are all spiritually dead in Adam and soon to perish. Next, we learned that to slay all her bullocks meant to slay all her strong and mighty men, by declaring to them that they now have no possibility of eternal salvation. This slays them because it makes it certain that they will remain spiritually dead and that they will soon perish. Also, we learn that all her bullocks, that is the strong and mighty, go down to slaughter because they have all gone down in position. Before May 21, 2011, the strong and mighty had the possibility of being eternally saved. But now they do not have that possibility. They have gone down in position, and they have gone down to slaughter, as they will all soon perish without any possibility of eternal salvation. Now, we learned that the voice of them that flee and escape out of the land of Babylon to declare in Zion the vengeance of Yahweh our God, the vengeance of his temple, is the voice of the elect, in that before May 21, 2011, they had fled and escaped Babylon when they were saved, and now they are spiritually in Zion to declare the vengeance of Yahweh their God, the vengeance of his temple. It is the vengeance of his temple because it was the temple, that is all the churches, that was spiritually destroyed by Babylon, from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, during the Great Tribulation, and now Yahweh is bringing his vengeance against Babylon for their deeds against his church. Indeed, just as Babylon replaced the true gospel with false gospels that could not eternally save, so Yahweh in his vengeance has now removed eternal salvation from Babylon. According to all that Babylon had done to all the churches, Yahweh has now done to Babylon. Then finally, we learned that we were to call together the archers against Babylon, which we found to be the elect who shoot words, typified by arrows, from their tongues, typified by bows, against Babylon. And we found that the elect are to encamp against Babylon round about, and to let none thereof escape. That is, the elect are to come against Babylon, the world, and all the churches from all over the world, and they are to let none escape, in that they are to declare the message of no more eternal salvation to everyone. Everyone who was not saved by May 21, 2011 should hear that they will never, ever be eternally saved, but they will all perish for their sins on the relatively soon to come last day of judgment day that we are now in. Now may Yahweh, through our Lord Jesus Christ, bless thee and keep thee. Yahweh make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.